Hare Krishna, first of all. Before I start, I want to say that this call has a long-lasting or a history that goes long into the past. Maybe a few years ago, I opened up discussions with one devotee from Ireland. I believe it was the mother of Ekadasi. We were on retreat in Vrindavan. We had a large audience at the Govardhan retreat. And at the end, this devotee, perhaps her name was Karunamayi, invited me to come to Ireland. Now, I have remembered my previous visit on Inishrat. I was only one time there during a Pandava Sena mentorship program. I remember I had long discussions with Tribhuvanath Prabhu, who was still amongst us. He stayed in a kind of camper on the island, and I was the guest of Manu Prabhu, and I remember going back and forth with the boat and thinking, wow, this is so romantic, this is so ideal. I instantly fell in love with Ireland, obviously as in my youth and perhaps in my childhood I had heard about Irish folk music, I have heard about the trolls and the fairies, and I had heard about the very iron-like determination of the Irish people. And when I finally came to Ireland, I was totally charmed by the sweetness of the devotees, by the wonderful location of our temple on that island. And when I was asked, can I come to Ireland and give one of my holy name retreats, I was immediately agreeing to come, and we immediately fixed a time. But then by the arrangements of material nature was something, there was COVID and travel was extremely difficult, so we postponed it to some indefinite time. And then I believe our Manu Prabhu, the good spirit of the Irish Yatra, was kind enough to invite me to this call, this Zoom conference, and I'm very, very honored to give this presentation to all of you today and to be with you at least by traveling through the internet lines that are connecting the European mainland with Ireland, and in this way we can have this program. I was very much thinking about what to present in this program, because I'm not so often with you, and I thought this should have a unique value of what you hear this evening. And after exchanging one or two ideas with Manu, I decided to speak on the inner life of a devotee, especially in relationship to the holy name. So that I thought would be an appropriate subject matter. And I would like to start now. Good. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And all of us again, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paskatya Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. And all of us again, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My dear everyone on this call, it is known that if our hearts are full with beautiful thoughts of devotion, of love, of service, our life is also full with devotion, service, inspiration, enthusiasm. And it is equally known that when our hearts are empty and we cannot feel any devotion, any gratitude, any enthusiasm to engage in service, when our hearts are empty, then our lives are also very empty. And no matter what amount of activities we do, how many appointments we have, what achievements we gain, if the heart remains empty, our life looks almost like a dead body, decorated with gold and jewels, but being nevertheless lifeless. So the inner life of a devotee is very important. It's not just the inner life of a devotee, it's everyone. And there's one particular thing, so to say, that enhances our inner life. It is to hear about the love of that Krishna has for his devotees, and to also hear about the love that the devotees cherish in their hearts for Krishna. By hearing about this love, Srila Prabhupada, he says something very, very amazing. Simply by appreciating the dealings of the Lord with his pure devotees, one can attain salvation. The Lord's dealings with his devotees appear to be ordinary human dealings, but one who knows them in truth becomes at once eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. Perhaps the last thing on a person's mind in this world is to think about the love that God has for his devotees, because one of the main problems which we suffer from in this world is that we intuitively, secretly feel that God has abandoned us, He has given us up, and therefore we feel we are not worthy of anything. We are not worthy that that Krishna can show us His attention again. We feel like motherless children who have been thrown into life in order to fend or struggle on our own. But the moment we hear that this is not the case, that Krishna loves His devotees, and we then our fortune changes. There's a very interesting indication of this in the 16th chapter of the first canto. And we find there that Parikshit Maharaj had heard from his people that there were very unpleasant developments in his state. He heard that there was intoxication going on at some places. He heard that there was violence committed towards animals and other beings. He heard that there was illicit exploitation of women for sex life. He heard that there was all the symptoms that Kali had finally managed to infiltrate his kingdom. So Parikshit Maharaj, upon hearing this news, did not just say too bad. No, he climbed up his chariot, which had a flag where a lion was there. You know, he was a strong emperor. He took up his bow and arrow, and he went with his troops all over his empire to establish his rule. Now, something very beautiful happened on his journey. As he was establishing the rule of Dharma, wherever he would come and arrive, people heard that he was the son of Abhimanyu. He was a direct member of the Pandavas. You know, Arjuna's son was Abhimanyu, and Parikshit was Abhimanyu's child. So Arjuna was his grandfather. So he heard wherever he was from old people who had seen Arjuna, Yudhishthira, Bhimsena, and Nakula and Sahadev, all his glorious ancestors. He heard about the glories, and what he especially liked is to hear how the Lord, whom everyone in the universe obeys, rendered all kinds of very personal, intimate services to the Pandavas, because he felt the Pandavas, I'm a devotee of the Pandavas. This is what the Bhagavatam says. Saratya parashada sevana sakyadodya virasananu gamana savana pranaman snigdeshu pandushu jagat pranatim cha vishnur bhaktim karoti nripatis charanavinde. Maharaj Parikshit heard that out of his causeless mercy, Lord Krishna, who is universally obeyed, rendered all kinds of service to the malleable sons of Pandu by accepting the following posts. Krishna became the chariot driver of Arjuna. What a beautiful meditation Parikshit Maharaj had. It was Krishna who helped Arjuna, who was clad in armor, to ascend the chariot. It was Krishna who sat on the seat of the drivers, the chariot driver. Arjuna had directed Krishna as a chariot by placing his legs on the shoulders of Lord Krishna, and one leg went like this, then it went left, then the other leg went like this, it went right, and this way Krishna had accepted this this position of a chariot driver. He was sometimes a president, like during the Rajasuya sacrifice, he oversaw the entire sacrifice as the president. He was a Shanti Duta, means a peace messenger, who went on behalf of the Pandavas to the Kauravas and negotiated for peace. Krishna was so much a friend to Arjuna that they would, even after the Kurukshetra time, Krishna would still act as a chariot driver of Arjuna. Once they went into a forest together, and they saw a jackal who was sniffing at a dead corpse, but not eating. So Arjuna asked that, "Dear jackal, you are behaving atypical. Your food are dead bodies, but you are not eating." "Well," said the jackal, I have some honor, you know. I have seen, and I've sniffed, and I've seen that his hands were not engaged in service of Krishna. The legs of this corpse were not engaged in walking to holy pilgrimage sites. The eyes of this dead man were never looking at Krishna's deity. This dead man is not nice food. He is a sinner. He is he will pollute me. So I have some honor. I will not touch him. So Arjuna had seen how Krishna had made the jackal speak and talk about devotion in his jackal way, and he had great regard that, "Oh, my Lord is with me. He can make a jackal speak and teach me devotion. My Lord is so wonderful, but still he is my chariot driver. Wow." What other things I hear? The friend, he was a night watchman. Yeah, Krishna was staying up in the night and guarding the palaces. Therefore, when Parikshit heard that Krishna was such a dear servant of the Pandavas, he became overwhelmed with devotion. In the Bhagavatam, it is said that his eyes widened in astonishment. But Krishna was a peace messenger, he was a night watchman, he was a chariot driver, he was a friend, he slept with the Pandavas, he dined with the Pandavas. The Bhagavatam gives us a list of what Krishna did. He was associating with the Pandavas face to face, says a verse in the 10th chapter. The Pandavas were touching him, walking next to him, touching him on his shoulder. They were conversing with him. They were sleeping with him, you know, on the same bed or in different bedsteads. They were sitting with Krishna. They were dining with him. So when Maharaj Parikshit heard this about how Krishna loved his devotees, he felt so much nourished. He actually understood in his heart that Krishna is Bhaktavatsala. He loves his devotees. I think we all have heard in Chaitanya Charitamrita how once Madhavendra Puri was sitting near Govindakund. It's on the lake side, or the bank of the lake, I wanted to say. And he had been so much involved in chanting and remembering Krishna that it was impossible for him to interrupt his bhajan and go out to beg for madukari, some chapatis. So at one stage he saw a cowherd boy coming to him. We can imagine in those times the cowherd boys would put blankets on their head in order to protect themselves. You know, they had blankets like this and then a knot to keep it there. And this would serve the cowherd boys. Krishna had a black blanket that is described, and that protected him against sun, but also against rain. He used this black blanket to sleep on it, and he used this black blanket also to sometimes cover a calf who felt lonely being absent from his mother. So Krishna came and solaced the calf and put the blanket around him, which made the calf feel very warm and cared for, almost as if being in the presence of his mother, who would take the calf under her belly and give warmth to the calf. So Krishna was perhaps coming in the same dress as the cowherd boy to Madhavendra Puri, and he said, you have not begged anything, you must be hungry. Madhavendra Puri says, tika, tika, tika. Eyes of love were rolling down his face. He had no concern for his body. So then this cowherd boy, who was no one else than Krishna, gave him a cup of milk, and Madhavendra Puri drank that to be nourished. So we know how Krishna cares for his devotees, and we know how much the devotees care for him. We have heard how Madhavendra Puri, on the request of his deity, went to Orissa to bring some sandalwood from Orissa to cool the body of Gopal, in his deity Gopal in Vrindavan. I think you know how hot it can become in Vrindavan. It is really not possible for a human being to from the west to go out in the summer. It's just too hot. I'm not speaking about touching the ground with barefoot. That's out of the question. But even with shoes, it's out of the question to go out, because the atmospheric heat is too overwhelming. In summertime, Gopal said, I'm feeling very hot, and I was so long under the ground, please bring me sandalwood. And we know how Madhavendra Puri did so much of an effort to carry 42 kgs of sandalwood from Orissa to cool Gopal's body. So yes, We have heard about this amazing love which Krishna has for the devotees. And when Parikshit heard about this, he was overwhelmed. What is with all of us? Do you think Krishna loves us? Do you think that Krishna is maybe very critical with us because we are not yet 100% pure? What is your understanding of Krishna at this present moment in your time, in your life? My dear devotees, I had a profound turn in my mind, perhaps some 20 years ago or so, where one day I have been practicing Krishna consciousness for 30 years, I woke up and I was thinking, where is the simplicity of my love, of my God consciousness? Where has it gone? I've heard so much philosophy, but do I really turn to Krishna every day as if he's my best friend? I remember when I was a child, I would wake up every morning and pray to God, and then I would live my life as a child, and I was a little wild as a child, very temperamental. But every evening before I went to bed, I said, please, Lord, make me more pious and more decent so that I can join you in the end. I'm sorry that I'm so wild. I want to be your devotee. It was a very simple God consciousness which I had. I remember as a child, I would climb the trees, and mostly the highest trees, and I knew how to get up but not how to get down. So very often my parents had to call the fire brigade, and the fire people had to bring this big truck with the long ladders and pick me like a cherry from the highest tree. And up to this day, I still have a white spot on my spine where one day there was no fire brigade. I tried to climb down, but then I fell. I landed on my back, and for about 2 minutes or so, I was breathless. I was so shocked, and I thought, this is the end. It was not, as you can see, but I still have that mark on my spine where I landed on a stone when I fell from a high tree. One day my mother sat me down and said, why are you doing this? You know how to climb up the trees but not to come down. And I remember as a boy I was whispering to my mother, I said, I can't stop it. I cannot stop it, because I want to be as close as possible to God. So in my childish imagination, I thought, when I climb very high up the tree, the tallest tree, I'm as close as possible. So where is that childlike, uncomplicated faith, which is at the core of bhakti? Bhakti means service which you do in a spirit of devotional love. No? Where is that devotional love? I woke up and I asked myself this question. And I think someone who says, Krishna doesn't love me, he is right. He is as right as the person who says, Krishna loves me. He's also right. When you think it is not possible that Krishna loves you, and when you think these are all stories from the Bhagavatam, long, long, long back, they're true, yes, the Bhagavatam, but they're not relevant to me any longer. Then I think when you run away from love, the love of Krishna may not reach you. But if you return to that simple loving mood in relationship to Krishna, then Krishna is very, very pleased with you. And he showers his affection, his causeless affection, to his devotee. I want to say here something. Just one moment. I have this here. By associating with the pure devotees and by hearing them submissively, attachment for material enjoyment becomes slackened. This is Srila Prabhupada. And attraction for hearing about the transcendental activities of the Lord becomes prominent. Once they are, this attachment to Maya is down and attachment to Krishna is high up, once they are, they will go on progressively without stoppage, like fire in gunpowder. So this love comes by hearing from the pure devotees, as we hear from the Bhagavatam, hearing about how they relate to Krishna. Then some seed in our heart is grown, and the love becomes spreads like gunpowder like fire and gunpowder. Here's a very nice a statement of Jiva Goswami in Gopal Champu. Hearing about the love exchange between Krishna and his devotees helps to awaken a similar love within the heart of the sincere hearer. My dear devotees, when I ask this question, where is my simple love for Krishna? How do I relate to Krishna? I did something to try to find, to purify my heart and bring love for Krishna or Krishna consciousness there. I did understand, first of all, that we have three hearts. One is the physical heart, which pumps blood through the arteries. The second is the emotional heart, where we feel hope and disappointment and appreciation. And the third is the spiritual heart, where we feel devotion for Krishna and gratitude. Now, when we are on the physical level, love is not very much our subject matter. We are very selfish. We only want to be healthy, rich, famous. We care about ourselves. When we come on another level where we understand, no, this is not how to be satisfied. I will share, I will take care of other people. I will see that there are good friendships with other people. That's an emotional idea. I will also perhaps think, if I'm not a sannyasi, about romantic love. But on the spiritual level, when we come to the spiritual level and we function there, we will think about the most satisfying exchange of feelings with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It depends on what level we are. Now, in the there is a very, very simple way to bring us to the spiritual level. It is done when you chant the holy name. My dear devotees, I will now give a very practical tip how you can develop your love of Krishna while chanting the holy name. We always think in terms of relations or relationships. We think of I'm the son of so-and-so, or I'm the member of this temple. We think of this is my temple president, my temple commander, or we think this is my friend. We think perhaps this is a person who is has inimical feelings towards me. We always think in terms of relationships, no? Isn't it? Now I'm thinking in terms of my relation to you. I think I'm here in Germany before this computer, and I can see in two or three windows a good number of devotees. I think hopefully they can understand my language. Hopefully they feel this is good for them, this inner feeling of thinking with affection of Krishna. I'm seeing there's one Ronnie Murdoch. Sounds very Irish. So there is a relationship here between speaker and listener, and one Giridhar. I'm saying Dublin, Krishna Temple, Inishrat. Wow. So we think in terms of relationship. So when we relationships, always, when we get into our japa chanting, we should also think in relationship to Krishna. I'm now calling out his name. I'm chanting his name. May Krishna be pleased with me. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives us a meditation and three steps that helps us to be in relationship with Krishna while we chant and experience some devotional exchange. Huh? We speak about the inner life of a devotee. Our chanting should not be mechanic, but there should be a stream of good devotional feelings coming from us to Krishna, and from Krishna, his care should come to us. That will nourish us. So this is how to do it, how to do this process to enter into a relationship. And I would like everyone to join me now. This will be a little experiential. I will guide you now into a little Krishna meditation where you can hopefully experience some of the devotional feelings in relationship to Krishna. I request you to take on to sit straight in a straight way. Yes, some of you are not so straight. They have been bent over since 30 years. So you can take your shoulders up like I'm doing and roll them back to open the volume of your chest. This will also help you to sit straight. I would like to guide you into an experience with the holy name now. Let us look around in our room for a moment. Look at those who are next to us. Look perhaps up at the ceiling, down at the floor, just to connect with our environment. And then, when we are ready, let us close our eyes and to take a few deep breaths. We bring our awareness on each inhale and on each single exhale. we breathe in and out, our awareness stays there. With our breath. And on each exhale, we try to relax our body part by part. We start with our legs, let them simply relax. Our upper body, from the hips upwards, our back and abdomen, chest, relax. Soft breathing and relax. Shoulders and arms. And the back of the head and the front of the head. Now, if distracting thoughts or feelings should arise, as they will, let them gently pass, like the clouds pass over the island of Ireland. When you feel centered, calm and focused, envision these truths. Your mind's eye see, I am a atomic or tiny soul. I'm Krishna's eternal servant. I may inhabit a body and a mind, but I'm different from my body and my mind. I'm an eternal, blissful, spiritual being. Part and parcel of Krishna. Next, let your heart or your awareness reach out to Krishna. Krishna is the infinite Lord of my life, my only master. For so long I have invested in so many relationships, but now I understand that Krishna is my only master and my only true Lord. And also my friend. And the third truth is, this material world is like a house of correction, meant to reform me, so that I will no longer remain absent in my relationship with Krishna, but become fully present. Now, we have brought three things into our awareness. Our true self, Krishna, and our purpose of being here in this world. Now from this understanding, we will engage in some very simple kirtan of the holy name. I will just sing the Mayapur melody, and as good as possible, please sing with me. Keep in your mind the awareness that you are the eternal soul, the part and servant of Krishna. He is your only master and true friend, and your purpose of being here is to become present. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, oh, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, oh, Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Yes, I'm not sure how good the sound is. Maybe the sound was croaky, maybe the sound was frog-like. Maybe the sound did not work. I can never say. We tried to be creative with the harmonium and so on. But this little point of entering into a real relationship. Wait, there's someone saying something. It was perfect. You are very kind to me. Point here is to enter into a relationship with Krishna. Do it sooner than later. Then only all our difficulties which come because we are still identifying with this phantom self, the body and the mind and the mental states in which we are, all this will certainly leave us. This is my sincere conviction and my sincere belief that the inner life of a devotee is that he thinks of Krishna always. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of a little of a mother who has a child. The mother will always think of the child, and when it sees a little shoe somewhere, it will think, "Oh, my child may play here and has lost the shoe," or so on. So in this way, the mother only needs a little stimulant, and then the thought of her child, which is always there, blazes forth in a great dimension. So I really find out if you can practice these 2 hours which you use to chant your japa by going through these simple recommendations of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then this pushes open the door of remembrance of Krishna, so that your inner life is full and rich. And it really is like this. When you sit down to do your japa, center yourself, arrive in that sacred space where you are aware that the real me is a servant of Krishna. And this is an eternal reality which nothing will change. No one can change, and then from there you can conveniently connect with Krishna, as he is my only master. I'm now entering a relationship. You can really pray like it is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna to mar hananu, my dear Lord, for so many long years in this material world, I'm totally absent from you. I've been absent. Even in the Hare Krishna movement, I have been a great, great obstinate person. I've managed to forget you even there. But now I'm turning to you as your sincere and serious servant. Please accept me. And then then when you chant in that loving bond, everything will be different. And you, as I said, it pushes open a door. It starts or inaugurates your inner life where you are always thinking of Krishna and never forgetting him. And then your life is full. Then it's happy. Then it's ecstatic. This is a little bit what I wanted to explain today to you. I have reached my end. I want to see, maybe there are one or two questions. I still have to manage to... Oh, my God, it's already 8:30. There is the time. Manu, you must be somewhere here. I can't see you at the moment. I saw you earlier. This is Manu. Yes. Oh, yes, Manu. I see you now. Yes. How should we continue this? Is there a possibility for some devotees to ask questions? It should be good questions, if possible. But how do you know it? What is your suggestion, Manu? Tell me.
It was a very profound experience. It kind of put me way back to the time when we went to your Nama Yoga. It was my very first Nama Yoga in Croatia. We drove down as a family from Ireland to Croatia for that. And I don't know if this is profound, but it really opened me up, actually, in the sense that I was thinking when you were singing like that. Back that time, it was like it just took us away to a very deep place with Krishna, and I'm very happy that you kind of reignited all that from all that many, many years ago. It just gave me that same feeling again. I was with my family, Ishani, and my Jayananda and Sita, and we were just completely mesmerized at that time, and. I don't know if it's a good way to say it, but at the same time, I do find it hard just to sit down and focus on Krishna. When I joined, everyone used to walk up and down, and even so 30, 40 years later, I'm still walking up and down and going through so many of the events during the day, but it's really kind of nourished. I felt very nourished there because you're talking about that personal relationship with Krishna, and that is seems to break through everything. And everything that you're saying there has pointed in that direction, that we, you know, to develop that relationship with Krishna as a person in a very intimate way. So, and I'm so happy that you're talking as well about all of that, hearing about devotees speaking about Krishna and the devotees' relationship with Krishna, that it's so different from the, you know, sometimes we get clouded over with all the talk of the social talk that goes on. So I was just going to ask, how do we increase this intimate talk with Krishna as opposed to all of the other talk that goes on, which must completely distract us away from Krishna?
Yeah. I thank you very, very much, and I will take a little time, maybe 7 minutes or so, to answer this question, and then I will have to leave this call. But see, Krishna consciousness is like a culture. I was in Switzerland just recently and saw in the living room of a couple, the Grihastha couple, a tree from India, a peepal tree. These trees are very wonderful trees. They have leaves that are in the shape of hearts. And it is said in Vrindavan, wherever there is a peepal tree, under the peepal tree, Radha and Krishna gather. So I was surprised that such a rare tree with these special leaves, which are is definitely not a Swiss tree, was growing so happily in Switzerland, in the house of these householders. And I asked them, how could you convince a tree to grow so nicely here? And they said, oh Maharaj, it's a question of culture. We had to give a certain earth to the tree, which is similar to the earth of his home land. We had to see that there is the right temperature. And we also know that this tree is very dear to Krishna. The seed comes from Vrindavan. So we were playing kirtan to the tree, either recorded kirtans, or we have the tree take part, so to say, in the when we do kirtans before our deities, then the tree has this atmosphere. And since we do all these things, the tree can grow very strongly. So the same is with your devotional life. You need to see what culture is there that your devotional life needs in order to grow. Just like the peepal tree, devotion is not an item that is very natural to modern day Kali Yuga island. it's not so frequently seen, although I hear in Ireland there is a deep abiding faith, and devotion to God is also found in the Catholic Church most properly. But I mean, this particular brand of devotion with chanting 2 hours a day the holy names and worshipping the Lord, it is something special. It's a special plant. You do need to create the right environment. If you don't have the right environment for this, then it just does not grow so nicely. I sometimes find this when I was young, I was often visiting music festivals, rock and roll festivals, to distribute books, to distribute prasadam, to do kirtan, and so on. But when we were there, we got a lot of exposure to the Western culture. You know how loud these loudspeakers are now. Modern loudspeakers are very, very loud, and the culture and the atmosphere was wow. The people would go there to have an entertainment, to have a break from their busy lives, and they would drink or intoxicate themselves in various ways to completely forget what they were doing over the week. And I always remember when I then came back after such a battle to the temple, I could see, well, the atmosphere is so different, the sound, vibration, the food, the everything was so favorable for developing Krishna consciousness. Sometimes I was suffering very much because even late in the night, up till 2 o'clock in the morning, we could hear these super loud loudspeakers, and when we slept in our camper, but the walls are very thin, and how much can you put into your ears, you know, to stop the sound from coming. So in our movement for Krishna consciousness, you will find things that are favorable. But if you have a toxic atmosphere there, by talking about things which are not directly related to Krishna, but there's a lot of talk always about the mistakes which human beings do in the movement. Yeah, should we talk about this? Isn't that the most natural thing to be expected, that people who are not yet so developed in their spiritual life, they will have mistakes? It's not so interesting to talk about that from morning till evening. We should talk more about, for me everything starts in the chanting of the holy name, because that's what we have promised to do. It's 2 hours, Manu, 2 hours. So how will you spend the 2 hours? Absent-minded, distracted, or will you focus on Krishna? Really, your level of Krishna consciousness can be easily seen how you spend your time with Krishna in the holy name. When you are absent-minded, that means you will also be absent-minded during the day and not be so much with Krishna. Yes, so that is my little answer. Every one of us, all you peepal trees out there, if we want to stay with this example, think what culture, what ground, what floor you what ground nourishment you can have in your life. And when you are a little careful about this, I'm sure that you will spend a wonderful day, and a wonderful each day will be wonderful and empowered in many wonderful ways. Yeah, this is a little bit what I can answer on this question, the culture of devotion. And you don't need a Swami to tell you what is favorable and unfavorable for you. You will see it immediately. Krishna consciousness is not a theoretical thing. You can immediately test how enthusiastic I am after this talk to hear about Krishna, to serve Krishna, and so on. When it made you enthusiastic, it was good. When it made you less enthusiastic, it was not so efficient. I thank you all very much, everyone who stayed so long with me, and I do hope I gave you something. If you forget many things you heard today in the lecture, remember one thing: as you change your rounds, try to do it with these 3 steps. Let the come in contact with the real you. Then, I am a servant of Krishna. Then relate to Krishna. He is my only master, my only friend. And then the purpose of my being in this world is to turn to him fully. I thank you very much. And I do hope that the plan which Manu and this devotee, Karuneshwari is her name. Gokrishna has reminded me, Karuneshwari, it's the mother of Ekadasi, that the plan which we made will actually be, that we will be successful to have this. Then we will go to Irish Rat, we will dance and chant and remind ourselves of the true purpose of life and become happy in our Krishna consciousness. All the best to everyone. Hare Krishna. And see you, hopefully, whenever Krishna allows us to see each other. Hari Bol.